So in Proverbs 8:13, we have read that we are supposed to, this fear of God is to make us hate evil. And we really do have to learn to hate evil. That's one of the reasons we have been called to be first fruits, is to truly, truly hate and abhor evil. And if we're not, we're sitting in our own little world thinking it's so nice. Look what God has done. Generally, God hasn't done that. Satan has done that. Because otherwise, you'd be hating evil. Let's go to another one. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 6. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. How do you depart from evil? By the fear of the Lord. Can you whip up this fear of the Lord? Can you whip up faith? Can you whip up mercy, love, joy, peace? Can you do that by yourself? I think most of you know the answer to that. And the answer is no, you can't. How can you give yourself the fear of God? Unless He gives it to you. We're going to see how He does do this and how He accomplishes it. Job 28. These are all just extremely important scriptures for what we are doing today. Job 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, how do you depart from evil? Through the fear of God, you begin to hate evil. How do you get wisdom? The fear of God, it's the beginning of wisdom. Very important that we know these things. How this comes about. That you're not out there just flailing away trying to do something, accomplish something before God. Because you can't do that. Look at the people throughout all the years in church. I've been in God's church over 40 years. And I've never seen one person change. Change to the extent that God would even send him an application to the kingdom of God, let alone accept it. Am I being too harsh? No, I'm being honest. I'm being honest. And it's time all of you become honest. Look in the mirror and you tell God how much you have changed. And you're going to have to shake your head and say, not very much, if at any. And then get on your knees and thank God. God has covered you with the blood of Jesus Christ. And if He didn't do it, you would burn in hell. If it was decided upon your merit and your goodness. Let's not get off into that. I can get very upset about all that, as you know. Because I hate that fear religion and that counterfeit that Satan was allowed to preach right within the very church of God. But now we know better. So we don't have to go backwards. Let's keep going frontwards here. Forwards. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes. One more on this subject. Ecclesiastes 12. Now this was a man that God gave wisdom to. And in the end of his life, he did understand and he did realize this. You're all very familiar with this. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. See, this is your whole life. This is what life is. This is the conclusion. Fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole man, or the whole duty of man. That's what it's supposed to be. Fearing God. And you notice whenever this fearing God is, a lot of times it talks about keeping His commandments. Any of you still in Worldwide Church of God, take note! Don't be stupid. Read what your Bible says. Don't listen to ignorant, foolish men. Learn to keep those commandments. All right. God gives us this fear by His Spirit. This fear, is seen by His love. Interesting statement, but it's true. This fear that He gives is seen by God's love and the fruits of His Spirit. I know you know this. Just take a second. Turn to Galatians 5. We're talking about fruits of the Spirit. Let's read it very, very quickly. Make sure we have this in our mind, the different parts of it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what comes to you and grows within you. Remember, it's the beginning, and then it grows and grows. You don't make it grow. God does at His will, at His time, in His order. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Joy. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Let's not skip this. Faith. It is impossible to have faith without the Holy Spirit giving it to you. You do not have faith. You cannot make faith. It comes by the fruit of the Spirit. And God will provide the faith for whatever time you are going through. And what He wants to accomplish in you. We have meekness, temperance. See, against such, there is no law. There is no law against these things that I just read. It is His Spirit. And that Spirit is the law. It is the government. It is God. It is love. And it also is the fear of God. You're going to see that in a moment. When you come in the presence of God, it's a little different. It's opposite of Satan. It's joyous. It's happy. It's wonderful. Peaceful. Something that is desired. It really is welcome. It's a want and a desire to have that peace and happiness. And that's what comes with God and His Spirit. Let's turn back to Psalms 97. Psalms 97. I know this microphone picks up all the times that I am turning in my Bible, but we'd rather have you hear what I am saying and put up with a little page turning than to miss what we're saying. Psalms 97, verse 10. You that love the Lord, hate evil. Remember, the fear of God is to hate evil? So he's giving us another thing here. It sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? You that love the Lord, you that have the fear of God, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. That's that wicked one, Satan. You see, the fear of God hates evil. Now it says the love of God hates evil. Are we starting to see something here? Are all of these fruits of God's Spirit and the power of God's Spirit? Same thing, isn't it? No one else has ever told you these things before. That the fear of God is God's Spirit. When you receive God's Spirit, you receive the fear of God. Because it is the fear of God that allows that Spirit, see, fear of God or the Spirit of God, that allows you to have the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the love. It promotes all of that. It's intermingled right there with the Spirit. Because what else would come with the Spirit of God than the very fear, but not in trembling. A fear not in trembling, but in reverence, in loving, and in obedience. That's the key element within this Spirit that allows all the rest to come. Now, no one else is telling you any of this stuff because they don't know it. Only the church outreach program is telling you these things, because this is where God's Spirit is. This is where God's true Philadelphian church is. This is where God's servant is. And this is where his message is. And this is where his Spirit is. This, and this alone, is where the fear of God is and where it is working. And any of you who do not have our address, it's a church outreach program. It's P.O. Box 6111. It's in Elgin, E-L-G-I-N, Elgin, Illinois, 60121. 60121. Write in. Write in for the information that we have. Ask for more sermon tapes. Ask for more articles. You see, this is the very fear, or is there fear in love? Read my notes wrong. Is there fear in love? Is there? When maybe you in the past have been terrified by this fear of God that you thought you understood? Is there fear in love? Well, the scripture is probably popping into everyone's mind right now. And we'll turn there and read it. That's 1 John 4. 1 John 4. We'll be in 1 John here a little while. 1 John 4. Verse 18 and 19. It says, there is no fear in love. See, no terror. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Isn't love one of the fruits of the Spirit? where would we have any fear from what he's talking about being cast out? It'd come from Satan, wouldn't it? It'd come from his fear, this terror. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, God's Spirit, casts out fear. Because fear has torment. See? That's the type of fear he's talking about here. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Can Satan be made perfect in love? No. We love him because he first loved us. You can't love God. You can't love him. You can't come up on your own and say, I love him. No, you can't. Can't do that. Many say, Lord, Lord, and God comes later and says, who is this guy saying, Lord, Lord? I don't know him. When God puts his Spirit within you, you begin to learn to love him. Because that's the fruit of his Spirit. What is love? Well, you beat me to another scripture there, I'm sure. What is love? All right. If there's no fear in love, what is love? We're right here, 1 John 4, verse 8. He that loves not knows not God. For God is love. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. You know, Christ prayed that we'd be one with them, one in mind. First John 5, verse 3. What happens when you have this love? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. I've been in God's church 42 years. I've never found one time that his laws were grievous. They have always been a blessing. Always. Always. And anyone who says that they are not, they are a liar, and the truth is not in them. And see them as just an angel of light, and there's Satan again. 2 John, since we're all in this John here, 2 John 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you've heard this from the beginning, that you should walk in it. It's all of the Ten Commandments. Oh, yes, even that little one that says, you're supposed to keep the Sabbath day. Don't be a dope. Don't be lied to and believe it. All ten of those commandments. Whoever tells you differently is a liar. Flat out, by God's authority, they lie. Let's see where we are. I'm just going to quote some of these scriptures here. In Romans 13:10, it says, love is fulfilling the law. Love is fulfilling the law. God is love. If you have that love in you, then you are fulfilling the law. We already read in Galatians 5:22, love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what God is. He is that Spirit. That comes from him. It's the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's holy. Only things from the Father are holy. He is our Holy Father. He doesn't happen to live in Rome. That's blasphemy. Our Holy Father is in heaven. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Now in Job 1:1, Job had the Spirit around him. He wasn't begotten as a first fruit, but he had that Spirit. That's why he was who he was, why God did what he did. He said he feared God and he hated evil. Rings a bell, doesn't it? When God's Spirit is there, you fear God and you hate evil. In Psalms 96:4, it says that he is to be feared. God is to be feared above all gods. These are just some references. Psalms 1:12, verse 1, says, "Blessed is the man that fears God and delights greatly in the commandments." Psalms 1:28, "Blessed is everyone that fears God, that walks in his ways." Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that fears God always. You get a rhythm here? If you have the fear of God, then the fruits of his Spirit are coming out in you, and you're keeping his ways, and you're delighting in his commandments, and you're happy. What is God going to do in the kingdom of God? I was going to read this, but I won't. I'll just quote this. You know, God tells physical Israel way back in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, you can read this later, that these laws and these statutes that they were supposed to be keeping and doing them is your wisdom and understanding. See, by keeping the law, by keeping that was going to be their wisdom and understanding. They didn't have the Spirit of God back then. And it was to be done in the sight of all nations. So all nations could see this. Now remember, they were physical Israel, and that was divorced. We are spiritual Israel. So what are we supposed to be doing? Well, we throw away all the laws and statutes? No. We're supposed to be doing it. So all will know. That is our wisdom. Now all nations will see that. This will be fulfilled in the great last day. Let's turn over to Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8 is telling us about the great last day, about the very kingdom of God. Starting in verse 20, Zechariah 8, it says, "It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily and pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of languages of the nations, even," this is the point I want to get to, "even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, and for we have heard that God is with you." And that goes along with Deuteronomy 4. You know, when they're all resurrected, They know the law of God. And they are going to be the teachers in the world tomorrow. And this is going to happen. All the other nations are going to come and they're going to keep God's law. Why? Because it was the wisdom and understanding that comes through the Spirit. This is the great last day. What is he going to do in the great last day? Turn to Isaiah 11. This is what God's going to do in the great last day with that Spirit, with this fear of God. In verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about Christ, but it's going to come on everyone. Okay, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Isn't this what we all read about? Wisdom, understanding, all comes from the fear of God. Shall rest upon him the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after his sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity, and argue, in other words, for the people, for the meek of the earth, which are all of the humans on the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He's going to judge Satan and kill him. He tells us, brethren, that he's going to be doing these things. And it's going to come in that great last day. What is the fear of God going to be doing for this world? How important is the fear of God? Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. This is all talking and speaking about the great last day. Jeremiah 32, starting in verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in my anger. And this is, of course, in this satanic world. But he's going to gather them all at this time, and in my fury and in the great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. This is the God of love. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This is great news. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me. Aha! He's going to give them this Spirit, that they fear God, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. That's what's going to happen in the great last day to all mankind. We can turn back to Jeremiah 31, verse 33. It says it again. But this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel and all of the world, I might add. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What will the fear of God do? What will it do? Turn to Revelation 21. This is in the new heavens and the new earth. This is the kingdom of God. One is the time when he's going to be the God of these people. Starting in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." And that's men, human beings, forever. "And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." See, nothing from Satan, for all the former things are passed away. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful." They are going to happen. They're going to happen because of that spirit and that fear of God, that reverence, that love, that patience, that mercy, that all the fruits of the Spirit, keeping those commandments, that way of life. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst," which they all will be, "of the fountain of the water of life freely." And that's what he's going to do, brethren, to all mankind in the new heavens and the new earth. Why? Because of that fear of God, that spirit of God that allows you to be one of God's children. This is what the fear of God will do. It's going to bring all mankind, each in their own order, each in their own place, in the kingdom of God forever. The fear of God is another fruit of God's spirit and power. And it's mixed right in there with that spirit when it is given to you. Because without the fear of God, we have seen what Satan does. And we know what we were in the past. The fear of God causes people to love and obey God, and to begin to understand wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Satan was made without fear, without the fear of God, and he will die forever. Thank God every day that he has given us the first fruits, first, the fear of God, so that we can obey him and love him. And thank God every day, that he will give it to all of mankind. That all that have lived and that will live, that they will love and obey their Father forever. The fear of God is very important, brethren, and it's not in terror. The fear of God allows you to know your Father and allows the fruit of his Spirit to come out in you. You should thank him every day for that, because otherwise you wouldn't have wisdom and understanding. You wouldn't be able to hate evil, and you wouldn't be able to love him either. We better thank God that he is love, and that he has granted us this, and he has given us this. The fear of God is not terror. It's not something you have to work up. It's something that he graciously gives you to be able to learn to obey and love him. when he prays. We just got through that series, a three-part series on how do I pray. We should see now even more that when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will, Your will, Father, will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Because I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of this world. I am sick and tired of this lousy, foul, wretched kingdom of Satan. Now we have to wait for his timing, of course. But at least day by day, with the fear of God, we can learn to hate evil. And that, my brethren, is a pleasure to do. To hate evil and to truly love God. Remember to pray for the brethren around this world, that all their minds will be open soon, that they also can start to share and understand this truth of God. So we will close with that, and we will all see you next week here on the Sabbath. So have a good week.